Hello, everybody.
Radio.
Thank you for joining us from the sunny shores of Lake Erie, and as always, I'm your host, Kurt Ebbinghaus, and you're listening to the Guiding Your Inner Light with Kurt. I'm your host every Monday at 12 Eastern, 11 Central, and as always, we are sponsored by the Optimize My Life radio show and the Hope Collection. Hope Collection is a nonprofit organization whose motto and mission are helping people. We're helping others by helping them help others. It's a version of Pay It Forward. The Hope Collection is based off eight pillars or core values, support health, wellness programs to all the members of your family, jobs and training resources for small businesses that can help supplement your income, which is very important now because you really need to supplement your income. Other areas are housing, imaging, family, nutrition, arts, and education. And I would love for you to call in or either listen, whatever you want to do, or join in the conversation. And the number to call is 714-816-4686. Today, I want to start off today's show. I want to start the continuation of what we discussed on Wednesday. And on the way you can become successful in life, work, family. And then in the second part of the show, we're going to talk about the challenge and how one act of kindness can help you in the path to become successful. And like always, I always start off the program reading a verse from the Bible, and it's Psalms 115, verse 11. And it says, "Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield." And what this means is having faith in the Lord and the path that he puts you on is the right path. Having faith in yourself, because God made you the way you are, and having faith and following your heart, what you're supposed to do will lead you in success. But do not fear sometimes we'll take the wrong path and have some failures, but keep trying. When we listen with our heart and our souls, what direction to go, what action to do will lead to success, which is very true. You have to put your life into God. If you don't, then you're like a ship without a rudder. And I have some list here with fears and what people fear success, and it's fear of criticism. This is a fear of what your friends would think about success. But really, if you have a goal and you have a drive, you really think, it doesn't really matter what your friends think about it. And the fear of spotlight. People who are shy or socially awkward may be afraid of succeeding because they do not want to be in the spotlight. Well, that's part of being successful. You have to be part of the spotlight because people feed off your positivity. So how do we turn these fears into co-options? Well, the first step is to become successful, you must be disciplined, which is true. You have to be disciplined in what you want to do. You can't focus on other things. You need to look at discipline this way. What do I really want? Well, and then that's a good question. What do you really want in life? What are your goals that you're going to be successful? You have to write the goals down. That's a must. You have to have direction in your life to find out what you really want. What results would totally change my life and the lives of those I care about? The good question is that, you know, you're doing this action to be successful to help your family have a better life after you're gone. You need to build a legacy of what they want, and so they can be taken care of in their life after you're gone. Is it worth doing something I don't want to do for relatively small chunks of time in order to achieve these goals? Yes, it is worth it. You got to realize that everything you do to the table that you are doing this to have better results in your life. You just have to look back at where your life is. Okay, your life is not doing good, but you want to be successful. So how is that going to be? What path are you going to do that? And you have to do that. You have to find out the results. You have to and work towards the results in your life. Be persistent. Never give up. There's a lot of people giving up right before the finish line is in sight. This is so true, guys. You got it. You can't give up. You can't. I gave up a couple of times in life, and I regretted it. Now I don't give up until I finish the finish line. You gotta be persistent in life in order to be successful. There's no other way. You gotta have that drive in you. You must write down daily and monthly goals, which is very important. You have to have a roadmap of nowadays GPS in your life to find out or to go on that road or that road that God put you on to success. And yes, there's going to be challenges on that road, but you got to do that in order to become successful. I have two questions, and I'm going to open up the phone lines now. I have two-part questions for you, and it's to everyone who wants to answer. Now, the first question is, would be an act of kindness, once you become successful in your life, to share and teach others to become successful in their life? Would that be an act of kindness? So is the Hope Collection motto an act of kindness? And the motto is helping others by helping them help others. Hello, Mary.
Hi, Kurt. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you today?
Good as always.
Great. Great. Did you hear my questions?
Sort of. Repeat them a little bit slower, one at a time.
Sure can. Okay. The number one question. Would it be an act of kindness, since you become successful in your life, to share and teach others to become successful in your life? And the question number two is, isn't the Hope Collection motto an act of kindness? The motto is helping others by helping them help others.
Well, sort of. If you're helping someone to be successful, if you're doing it for the right reasons, it's an act of kindness.
Mm-hmm.
If you're listening to them and figuring out and helping them as a mentor or some version of it, that's an act of kindness. If you're doing it for your own self-gain and your own, this is how it's got to be, tunnel vision, then it's not.
Interesting. So you just said tunnel vision. What can you kind of go on that and tell me what tunnel vision to you is? Because that's a really interesting.
In this day and age, there's so many people that pretend to be kind or pretend to help you to achieve certain aspects, but mm-hmm. you have to give up who you are as an individual or give up what you want or modify you to achieve that. That's not kindness. That is basically railroading. You know, it's what your success in your life is. You know, mm-hmm. to me, being mm-hmm. successful is two different parts. You know, one, having a nice, happy family.
Yes, that is.
And having that family that we spend time together and want to be together.
Mm-hmm.
Not where you have to force everybody to be together. The other part is to change the narrative. And changing the way we look at these individuals. We are so, you know, remember back in the 90s, it was all about being an individual. Get rid of the label.
Yeah.
Open the boundaries.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
For, you know, in the last 15 years, almost 20 years, we backslide all that. Now we're back to, you have to be a label. You have to fit into this box. You have to be this kind of individual. We are losing what we've gained in being an individual and being who you are and being accepted as you are. And my goal is to go back and – I'm sorry, what, Kurt?
I'm sorry. It's all about becoming robots because if you – today, like you said, we're losing the identity, the individual identity of the people. We're just like, oh, you have to have a label. Why do I have to have a label for it? On me.
Right.
You know? So.
In a way, yeah. You know, and my goal is to get back and teach and emphasize to people, it's great to be that individual. It's great to be who you are as you are.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to fit in the box, you know, and I pride myself and I emphasize when I talk to people about me and who I am. I am that square peg in a round hole. I am who I am, and I don't care if you like me or not. At least respect
that's
me, because I'm willing to speak my opinion.
But today's society, people are afraid to speak their opinion because they don't want to hurt someone. And that's to me, that's wrong. You need to express the truthfulness of yourself to people. If people don't like you, then that's their problem, not yours.
The only way you can be successful in life, in professional, any aspect of your life, is you have to be able to accept you of who you are and believe in yourself. No one else is going to believe you in what you say until you believe yourself. You are the only person staying in your way.
Yes. And that's where people they have fear of being successful because they stand in their own way and put all these blocks in front of them. And, you know, then they realize they're not successful because of that. They think, oh, my, they stop at the, these, and I wrote this down, and I want to, I'll rewrite it.
It's not so much a fear of success. They want that success. They're driven to that success. They have a fear of who they are, and they're afraid of what people will see as them. They like being in the shadow. They like being a persona, which is, you know, what the digital age is about. you know, we have that power to where we can put up a picture and say, that's me, even though it's not you, and portray yourself to be somebody else, because that's who you see, that's who you think people want you to see, and who you think people want you to be. That's the part that holds you back in success. That's what holds you back in life in general, is that fear of that mask. And being able to remove that mask and being able to love yourself and who you are and not mm-hmm. worry about being accepted, because once you accept yourself, everybody else will accept you.
Well, yeah, they will. But people who fear success, doesn't it go back to their not believing in themselves? They have, you know, for me, for a very long time, I did not believe in myself, but I finally realized I'm God's gift. And I don't want to be cheated over that when I say that, but I am God's gift. And he didn't make junk. And I finally realized, it took me a long time to realize that, but I did. You are who you are. And I also believe you have to surround yourself with other positive people to become successful too. And that's a big thing.
You know, it's back to when you're a kid and your parents tell you you are who you are around, who you associate with. You never understood it.
Yeah, that's what my father told me. He said, let me see your friends and I'll show you your future. And he was so right in that statement, because if you're surrounded by negative every day, you're not going to be a negative all your life. You got to find people who are positive. I lost a lot of negative friends that way. I don't want anything to deal with you. It's like, come on. Either you're positive or you're not. I want to be successful.
Well, were they your friends, or were they just people that wanted to take you down with them?
Good question.
You know, were they happy for you for your accomplishments and what you had going on? Were they there for you when bad things happened? Or were they just there because they needed a sounding block and someone to vent to?
I think they were only there for having a beer with me. That's about it. They're like, okay, whatever. You do what you got to do. You know, it's like the scenario of the crabs in the bucket. Did everyone go crabbing? And I did a couple of times. You put a crab in there. That crab tries to get out. But if you put two crabs in there, that second crab tries to pull one crab down, so they're not going to escape. And that's how life sometimes is. You have friends that pull you down and say, no, you can't do that. How dare you do that? You know? I had to get rid of people like that. It was not good to hang out with people like that. Now I tell my kids that too. You have to surround yourself with positive people, not negative people. And you can't change negative people. Yeah, that's their program, to be negative.
But if you think of it that way too, you're being just as closed-minded as they are.
In what way?
Well, if you're saying, okay, well, this person's negative, have you ever stopped and talked to them and found out what's going on in their life and why they're negative? You know, they may not have the support system that you have. They may not have, or they might have something really rough going on in their life, or they've had a lot of rough going on in their life.
Right.
And this is where the act of kindness comes in, and just sitting down and talking to them and seeing what's going on and why they are the way they are. And changing the viewpoint for them to see the narrative a different way, in a different perspective.
But don't you have to treat them like an alcoholic because they don't want to talk about their negativity to you? They just want to keep it in them. They want to keep it know, and every time you express positive, that's like them taking out a beer and drinking it. They're saying, okay, you can't do that. You know, you're not.
But a true friend will be able to open up and talk to them and find out what's going on. If you're open and not just closed, you will learn how to work with them and talk to them about what's going on.
Yeah, I agree.
And it may not happen overnight. But you got to change the narrative.
Right, the narrative is on their part. You got to say, okay, you got brought up a real good point. Maybe I should have taken time to talk to my friends, but I just didn't want to. I was either too shy or anything to talk to them about it. Why the negative? Like I just hung out with them. So if I realize I'm wasting my time with you guys. It's the same way with people in my family too. I have some people in my family that don't support me. That's their problem, not mine. You know what?
Right.
And
there is that two-way street where there's just some people that are evil. And they are only happy when they bring other people down. And that's when you have to realize, okay, I have tried to work with you. I've tried to talk to you. I've tried to explain things to you. But nothing changes. And you're only going to bang that head against the wall so many times, which is the definition of insanity. You know, keep doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result each time.
Yeah.
Where you do have to cut ties. But that's where you need as an individual to decide what's important to you.
Right.
And.
Right. You have to. Maybe sometime in your life, those people will cross your path again and maybe they have changed. It's like, okay. You still want to be? You want to be friends again? Now you haven't changed. No. Today's society, it's just like give me my success. I eat for 2 years, 4 years of college. I want my success. I want my $1 million. And people don't want to work for that. And I think that's their negative. In their own way, because they think they didn't want to look for a handout. Is that negative? I think it is. In a way.
It can be, but you got to remember too. You know, a lot of these kids grew up in electronic age, instant gratification. You know, they're used
right.
to getting what they want when they want and how they want it. They've never been in the real world, as opposed to the way we grew up.
Yeah.
You have to look at things from other aspects, too.
You do.
And
yeah.
judging someone based on an initial meeting is just as negative as that person.
Yeah,
some people give you a bad first impression, but if you get to know them, they're different.
Yeah, that's true. You shouldn't judge a book by its cover, you know. But when you meet somebody in life, you just get that gut feeling like this guy is not right there, or girl, gal is not right there. And, you know, you're kind of like, okay, yeah, I'll go for coffee with you, but, you know, what's this, you know what I mean? It's like the negative, they have that negative feeling on their shoulders, and they're showing it to you, and it's like a wall. It's like, okay, I don't really want to talk to you, but let's talk anyway. So, you know. As life coaches, we have to do that. We have to go right into that and say, hey, how come you're negative? you know? And why are you not successful? So.
But are they not successful, or are they not successful in your eyes?
Good question.
Because if you look at my life right now, it wouldn't be successful. But in my eyes, it is.
A question, and I'm going to bring this out to the audience. Hey, what is success to you? What does it mean? What does it look like to you? It's a different path than what I look at. Now, success to me is not having $1 million in a Rolls Royce in the driveway. My success is having to take care of my family, make sure they'll be okay when I'm gone. That's what I want to do. But sometimes I got a question to the audience too. Do you want to become successful just to be greedy? Or do you want to be successful to help others? Think about it. You know, you're thinking, well, I'm successful because I want to put money in the bank. That's fine, but are you going to put it to charity, or are you going to put it to other organizations that can help other people? So that's another
question. All right, well, let me flip that question on to you, Kurt.
Yes.
Just because, so how you start out one way doesn't mean that's how you're going to end up that way. You know, some people start out with their definition of success with having lots of money because they didn't have any growing up. They struggled to find food. They struggled to pay bills. They struggled to have a roof over their head. And so their whole goal was to have $1 million. But as they made that money and they became successful, does that mean that they're going to stay that way, or are they going to change as life goes on?
I think they would change because they would be educated in becoming the path to becoming successful is the path of helping others to become successful. Because you don't be successful, you have to feed off other people's success. And let me rephrase that. When you are helping people, it's almost like a servant leader. When you're helping people become successful in life, your success is going to shine too, because you will have a personal gratification that you help this person or people to become successful. So in other words, so. You are succeeding, you're successful off of them. Success. Because you're successful in helping them. Am I making that clear?
Sort of. So what you're trying to say is that in order for you to become successful, you need to network. You need to work with other people. You need to socialize with other people. And branch ideas and be with others. It's not being a success is not a one-man game.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You're making contacts. You're making friends in the process.
Mm-hmm.
You're becoming something bigger than yourself.
Yeah. But you're doing it on your success and not others.
But you also need those others who are successful and have a voice out in the world to get your voice out there. You know, there's so much out there. If you have the network, you have the people like the Hope Collection, like other individuals, President Trump, for another instance, look at that man. That man has been bankrupt how many times over and became a millionaire how many times over?
A lot.
because he perseveres, but also because he uses his links, his networks, his people that he surrounds himself with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to be successful is not a one-person game. You cannot just wake up one night, say, I'm going to be successful, or one day, and go out and do it. You need your environment. You need the people around you. You need to build that identity and that rapport with your community and with individuals.
It's almost like
that's the biggest misconception. Go ahead.
Right. No, it's like a village of people helping you to be successful. Because without that village, you wouldn't be successful. You'd just wither on the vine, like Jesus said.
Right. You know, and that's the misconception we live in this day and age, where we have that instant gratification. So you become a coach. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you establish, I'm an expert in this field. All right. Now I'm going to go bring in clients. All right. But you have nobody to bring in because you are nobody in the system.
Right.
You know, it's like, you know, the big thing with, you know, networking, you know, the misconception in the business world. Let's just go in, meet a bunch of people, and hand out our business cards. They don't know you from Joe Smo next door, so they're not going to recommend you. They're not going to talk to you. You need to get on a personal level with these individuals and get to know them so they know you and know, you know, when they're putting their reputation on the line to recommend you to somebody, you are the person that they recommend.
Amen. Amen to that, Mary.
Hello, Bob.
Hi, Bob.
Hi. How you doing, guys?
Good. I'm doing real good.
Good, Kurt. That's way
we're
to go.
We're having a really good time. We're having a really good discussion, and I'm two questions I put out, and I'll review them for you. One, would it be an act of kindness that you become successful in your life to share and teach others to become successful in their life? And two, isn't the Help Collection motto an act of kindness? The motto is helping others by helping them help others. What do you think, Bob?
Wow. Those are great questions. And, I believe in my case, I have so many children and grandchildren, that my biggest acts of kindness is to show them a good example of living and helping other people, and giving them the value, helping them with learning the correct values of what God wants us to do. And so I think that's the most important thing that I can do in this world, and just to lead a life of giving God credit for everything that we do, and try to do the things that He wants us to do that are spelled out in His holy word. And so I believe that's. That's what we can, each of us can do, and to sincerely show people love, that we are sincere about helping them, and so I think that's the other thing, and I have done that for nearly 40 years now through through the program, I believe that there is fruit on a tree, and it shows by the example that my children are saying and doing today. And not only my children, but the other people I've been working with for years. I think one big example of that is my good friend Derek, who is working very hard to help people to have a better life. And so I'm working with him every single day. He and I exchange phone calls. And we're working together with people that he's contacting and reaching out to. And so I think that's how each of us can do it. And it's not hard. It's not hard work. It's very satisfying work for me to help other people and to get to see the smiles on their face when you help them to achieve something that they want to achieve. So I hope that answers your question as far as I'm concerned.
It sure did. I have another question, but I'm going to tell you personally what happened to me. I grew up in some negativity in my life through my, you know, my relatives. I'm not going to mention who. But it put me into a lifestyle where I was surrounded by negative people. And my father told me, when you see your friends, I'll tell you your future. And I don't know if you had to do this job or not, but I had to say goodbye to all these negative people in my life because they were just bringing me down. They were just saying, they were influencing me in my course of life. And now I'm building a legacy for my family to carry on when I'm not here. And I think I believe that's what you're doing, is you're building a legacy for your family when you're gone.
I agree with you. I'm not perfect, and I never will be perfect because there's only one perfect person that came onto this earth, and that was Jesus Christ. I too had a number of issues in my life when I was younger, my father was an alcoholic. And he used to beat us boys. I have two brothers and myself. And he would it would take any little thing for him to take his belt and move on. Or he would give us a knife and tell us to go out and cut a limb off of one of the bushes and bring it in. And he would whip us with it. So that was, for me, I think it was a turning point because I decided I did not want to be that way in my life, and I would never treat my children the way he treated us. Now, I don't want to say that everything he did was bad because it wasn't. He was an alcoholic, and when he wasn't drinking, he was one of the best fathers in the world. He taught us everything. He would teach us how to drive. He would teach us how to farm on the farm. He would teach us how to do carpentry work. He'd teach us how to do electrical work. He'd teach us how to raise animals. And all those things that he taught us he always said to us, if you have friends and you want to say something about them, if it's something bad, don't say it. Only talk to people about good things about themselves. So that was something else that kept in my mind over the years, and it helped me. So I always try to promote the good things in people's life rather than that anything they might be doing wrong. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does, and that's a good way to do that.
That's part of the kindness that we give people, you know?
Right. And Mary brought up a really good point too, where she said, "Why don't we just, you know, we have people in your life that are very negative. We should sit down and talk to them about that." And I'm really glad you brought that point up, Mary.
I'm listening.
I just told Bob what you said about helping other people that are negative in their lives by talking to them.
I had two of my own children who got mixed up in drugs. And they both were doing drugs. In fact, one of my daughters ended up in jail for about 6 months, and I fought like crazy to get her out, and we finally did get her out. But it was because of the drug addiction and because of the people that she was associating with. And that was one of the things I always tried to stress to my children. Careful who you associate with, because if you wallow with the pigs, you're going to end up a pig. So I always try to thank God they're both not involved in anything like that for years now. So, and they both have families of their own. So, I'm very thankful to the Lord for what he's done to help us with that.
Yeah, that's awesome. That is awesome. That's a really nice, testimonial you have. That's really nice. You see, God changes people, and I believe if you want to become successful, you have to put it to God. Bring it to God. Say, hey, I want to do this. And God will show you the way. He always does. Now, the reason why I became a life coach is because of Joel Griffin. But I was a life coach, but not certified a life coach. I coach and mentor people anywhere they want us to be. I mean, even the bars dark out. I talk to them. I listen to their life story, and I show them through passion how they could change their lives. And I think that was God talking through me to talking to them. But God is really your life in God's hands, really good. And that's what happened to your daughter, Bob. Did she put her in her hands, her life into God's hands, and changed it around?
No matter what happens in our lives, we just have to remember that God is there for us, and he will help us through any situation. And I firmly believe in that, and I firmly believe in him, and I give him for all the credit for how he has helped my family over the years. And I just tremendous blessings he's given us over the years.
Mm-hmm. You know, and the biggest misconception is that, okay, so God gives you the message and you don't follow it.
Yeah.
People think because they make mistakes in that path and they don't keep, you know, that's too late. And people need to understand and realize, you know, yes, you make mistakes. Nobody's perfect. Nobody ever gets it right on the first try.
That's right.
It's like a roadmap in the GPS, and it says go left, you go right. Mm-hmm. Well, you keep taking those right turns. You can keep making mistakes. Eventually, you will learn the right path to go down, and you will end up at the right signs. You'll learn to look at the signs.
I found over the years that a lot of times when people get into trouble, it's because of poor self-image. And if we can help them to build up that self-image and to feel good about themselves and feel good about helping other people, then that's very important. And that not only helps them, but it helps the people that they're trying to help.
And no, the other thing is, too, is like, you know, looking at the Old Testament and the New Testament, you know, a lot of people try to tell you how this is the path. This is what you have to do. Well, if that person's not ready to hit that path, they're not going to hit that path. So, you know, the story I like to use is the story of the Old Testament with Moses. And he got the Ten Commandments. He came down off the mountain, and he stood there and said, this is what you have to do. This is what you can't do. Well, how did that work out? You got a flood, and a lot of people lost.
The Jewish people were very trying to, very much to control the whole society of theirs. And they just made so many rules and so many laws that it was hard for anybody to try to do the right thing, you know, because there were so many prohibitions that they had. And right. And you're right, Jesus changed all that. He talked about the Ten Commandments, and he talked about the fact that the most important things were to love your God and to love yourself and your neighbors, and to and to believe. That was the most important things that he talked about.
And it's okay to make a mistake. It's okay to screw up once in a while. You're no one's perfect.
Yeah, yeah.
We forgive you.
Remember when he was asked, how many times should we forgive someone? Well, they kept asking, and then he kept raising the numbers, and then he it was outrageous the amount of times he said we should forgive people for whatever they've done to us.
And it doesn't mean you have to let it go.
No.
You can't. It's okay to cut ties with them, but you still, in your heart, you have to forgive them.
That's right. And you first of all have to forgive yourself. You have to forgive. We have to forgive ourselves for anything we've done wrong. And then we're equipped to forgive other people if we do that.
But forgiving yourself, isn't that the hardest task you have to do in your life? Some people have problems forgiving yourself.
Yeah. And self-talk is very important in trying to resolve that, to forgive ourselves, because much of our talk to ourselves, or much of our talk in our life, is to ourselves. And Dr. Shad Helmstetter wrote books on that, and he proved that the self-talk is so important in our lives, and being able to say, I screwed up, but I'm okay. You know, I've got to forgive myself, and I think that's very important.
Yes, it is. You have to forgive.
I think it's
yourself.
The most important part.
Yeah, absolutely.
But some people take a lifetime forgiving themselves. They don't. They have an issue with that. I didn't. I forgive myself. I am happy. Unhappy right now. It took me a long time to forgive myself. But now I have. I brought it to the Lord, and I never looked back.
Yep.
You know. So.
And I think important to learn by our mistakes. Whatever mistakes we make, we need to learn and to try not to repeat that in our lives. And that's one of the problems with the drug addictions, is that people make mistakes, and but the drug becomes a physical thing that their body wants to keep. Give me more. You know, so that has to be overcome.
Unfortunately, that happens in life. That, you know, just like an alcoholic, you can steal the bottle for 20 years, and all of a sudden you take that one drink, and your life has changed again. And unfortunately, you know. But I have something here that I want to have my special guest on, Mary. She wants to talk about the Help the Kindness campaign. Mary,
right.
The Kindness Club?
I lost my note.
Sure. So the Kindness Club Kindness Campaign is a conjunction between the Hope Collection, the Golden Rule Society, Len Kane, and my 8-year-old daughter. And what it is last year, Len Kane, a phenomenal gentleman out in California, was working on a campaign on people doing random acts of kindness. At the same time, my 8-year-old daughter was sitting at home going through activities for her school, trying to figure out something that she could belong to. And she decided she wanted to do a club on how to be kind to people because she is a little different. She's autistic, and so she gets made fun of a lot because she doesn't understand what people are saying, or she doesn't interact the same way that a lot of kids her own age interact, and she doesn't understand why they're mean to her. And so she worked with the school, and they set up a kindness club. And now with the Hope Collection and Len Kane and the Golden Rule Society, it is going to be a event that is designed for individuals in their communities and in their schools to do a random act of kindness, one random act a day.
Wow.
And it's from everything to be, and the most forgotten act of kindness is being kind to yourself, forgiving yourself for making a mistake, being okay with who you are. Mm-hmm. A lot of people think that's being selfish, and it's not. It's the ultimate act of kindness. And we're working on setting up a Facebook page, Instagram page, a social media platform, and a website. So once you do this act of kindness, posting a video of what you did that day, and share it with everybody else around you of what things you do.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That is amazing. And I know she probably had a lot of help from you, Mary, to make that happen. And that's great.
Oh, no, it was all her idea. She sat and talked to the teacher about it, and I took the reins after they signed the club, and now I'm helping her set everything up externally, but this was all her. She is one of these one in a million kids, and I'm grateful that she's mine, because when you ask her about how she was born, she will tell you, Mom, I wasn't born. I am an angel from the clouds, and my job here is to help people, because God can't help everybody at the same time. So my job is to help that person that God can't help at the moment because he's doing something for someone else.
Wow.
And you ask her how she came up with that idea. She goes, it's what came in my head. And that's what my head told me where I came from.
Wow. Wow.
You know, I wasn't going to come on the show today because I was doing some things that I needed to get done. But I looked at the clock and it was 12:30, and I said, "Oh, I'm gonna get on the show for a while." But you know, I'm really glad now that I came on, because hearing all these things that are going on and what you guys, the effort that you guys are doing, it's amazing. Thank you so much for that. Thank you for agreeing to be hosts on the radio show. And thank you for helping other people so much and helping your own families. It's just commendable to both of you. Thank you.
Thank you. It's a passion for me to be on you.
Yep. When it becomes a passion, then it really becomes more important to us, getting that passion.
Oh, yeah. You have to have passion to help other people. If you don't, then I don't know what you're in there for. So, but we do this every Monday. We talk about anything we want. You know, we have topics. We have. I have to come up with a topic for next week, which we'll probably do today. But I want to close out the show, what we touched on in the show, and Mary came up with this belief. Believing in yourself and others, eliminate the negative, be positive, and if you must fake it, until you make it. And that's what Trump said too. You fake it until you make it. Jerk your thoughts, take control of your thinking. And tomorrow, is Travel Tuesday with Ron Clayton and Rick Reese, and they'll talk about how travel can positively impact your life and how you can use travel to supplement your income. And that, for that, folks, we're almost out of time. So we'll be here on the 26th. And as always, God bless, take care, and be safe. Goodbye.
Kurt, I want to say one quick thing before you drop off. I want to thank Mary. I want to thank Mary for filling in on Friday. I was scheduled. Ron had asked me to do the Friday show, but I got sidetracked with my son. He needed some help on a job that he was working on. He called me around 7:30 in the morning, and I agreed to go help him. And then as a result, I forgot about doing the radio show. I couldn't have done it anyway where I was because I was working outside with him. So, but anyway, thank you, Mary, for filling in.
Not a problem. I was more worried about something happening to Ron.
Yeah, good.
We were too. We
That's
were like,
great.
Where's Ron?
That's great.
All right, guys. I said we were wondering where Ron was Friday, and Mary called me. Where's
yeah.
Ron?
Yeah, absolutely,
he
absolutely, did. Great.
So, we got each other's back.
Well, you guys have a great day, and God bless you. God bless America.
Thank
you too
for coming on. Take care,
bye-bye.
Guys.
Bye bye.
God bless. Bye bye.
Bye.